Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Shaletta Brundage here, host of the show. It's sponsored by Otto Bremer Trust, and it's been a rough week. It's been a highs and lows and everything in between. I got ready to do the show, and Devin Marshall and I were selecting freedom songs. And my husband walked down here with a plate of grits and toast and sausage and bacon, because he knows that we have been working in the media around the clock nonstop since the sentencing was handed down yesterday. Derek Chauvin, 22 and a half years for the murder of George Floyd. I could not talk about this, discuss it, weigh in on it with anyone except for Jules Porter, local attorney here in the Twin Cities. And she has been a legal analyst and expert here on CCO Radio. And Jules, talk to me about your reaction to the sentencing.
Hey, Shaletta, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I mean, you just made me hungry talking about grits and sausage and all that.
Girl just brought me a tray. I'm going to have another baby, because otherwise he might think he could leave me.
Well, I mean, okay, getting to the reaction from yesterday, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a pretty mixed reaction. There were people disappointed, right, that it wasn't higher. There are people who were just, you know, happy because of the history that this moment made, that he was serving jail time that is significant, you know. And I think that we in the Black community, we understand, right? We get what it means for, you know, our fathers, sons, uncles to spend, you know, decades in prison. And I know the testimony from Chauvin's mother, right, where she was like, "You're sentencing me too," and we're like, "Well, yeah, the Black community, we know that. We know how that feels. We know what that's like, right?" But we're also looking at the impact that Chauvin's actions had on George Floyd's family, his loved ones, his community, his daughter, who's now growing up without her father present, right? When she gets older, has kids, these kids who now are growing up without, you know, having that love of the grandfather and things like that. And so, you know, and then just the trauma of all the witnesses who were there, who saw, you know, Chauvin being murdered. And then all the trauma of, you know, the general public who had to watch the video again and again and again. I mean, my nephew was 12 years old at the time, and on his own, just through watching like something on YouTube, the video popped up. And so my nephew watched that video by himself. And so it's just weighing all of those things, weighing the loss of life, which is something, as George Floyd's brother said, that you can never restore that. And that's kind of the fallacy, I guess, of justice. There's some crimes that, you know, there is no just penalty, right? What is the just penalty for murder? We can't bring that person back, right? Mm-hmm. That action is so final, which is why we don't want police officers being judge, jury, and executioner on the street.
Yeah. Did you think that the judge made the right decision with the 22 and a half years? Do you think it should have been longer? In your legal opinion, was this as much fairness as we could have gotten for the murder of George Floyd?
That's always so hard, right? Because it's like, you know, Judge Cahill made the best decision he could with the circumstances, weighing all the evidence presented, you know, before him, and then looking at past precedents of the court. And so I think, you know, when he did give himself, when he found the aggravated factors, right, then he was signaling that he's going to go much higher than the 12.5 years, right, that the 12.5 years wasn't really very just according to, you know, all the different facts of this particular crime. But, of course, you know, the public wants 40 years. I know the other day I was like, I put it between like 20 and 30. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit high, but he could have went that. He could have went to 30. But I think 22 and a half from the perspective of like a judge who's looking at the sentencing guideline, who goes above the sentencing guideline, saying that his criminal history score is zero, it seems to be, you know, fair. But at the same time, I know the community is kind of upset because we have black men in prison for much longer for less egregious crimes.
You know, I just keep going back to the man in Louisiana who was sentenced to life without parole for stealing hedge clippers and was only paroled when the story came to light after 23 years. He served 23 years in prison for hedge clippers. You know, there's a black man serving 45 years in prison for killing a police dog. And so, you know, a black man is dead and, you know, the officer gets 22 and a half years in prison. And of course, he'll be eligible for parole before that. And so, you know, while people are celebrating, excuse me, but, you know, this to me is an indication that justice is not blind. I feel like justice is just winking at us.
Yeah, the thing is like once people get those kind of over the top ridiculous sentences, like 40 years for killing a police dog, you know, to have that overturned, right, is such a long and kind of oftentimes disappointing process. Like, I forget which state it was, but there's, you know, the case of the man who's in prison who was proven innocent, who the prosecutor is like, okay, as soon as I get the chance to get this person out, let's get this person out of jail. They shouldn't be there. But the governor isn't willing to, you know, just pardon them and let them out, right, that there has to be this process that plays out, even when you have the prosecutor saying we made a mistake and this person's innocent. And so when we look at situations like that, yes, it's very difficult to look at Chauvin and say, all right, yeah, this is fair because it seems so unfair. When what really needs to happen is that these, you know, a lot of these, you know, judges and, you know, prosecutors in some of these systems, hopefully this is a coming to Jesus moment where they say, okay, we are doing like way too much with trying to keep these folks in jail for this long. We need to ensure that our sentences are fair, are according to the facts of this particular case, but are in line with sentences that we're giving out for, like, murder, right? So,
right.
I mean, you know, murder of human beings. I don't know. And so it's hard because the system, as we see it, right, it is broken. It does need to be fixed, right? And each state kind of has to have their own way of fixing it. And bringing it so that we can believe in our justice system, because I know the black community, we've never really been able to believe in it.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the reasons that, you know, you, along with hundreds of African-American lawyers, held a silent protest outside of the courthouse yesterday before the sentence was handed down. Tell me what that experience was like.
Well, we actually, the day before, we ended up having to cancel it last minute, which was really unfortunate for us. But we did have a meeting where we talked about what we were going to do to help push this legislation forward, to help hold our politicians accountable so that we keep this momentum going, right? This story of George Floyd and what we do to honor George Floyd and what we do to fix our system here in Minnesota did not end yesterday. Okay, this is, you know, there's so much more work that we need to do, and we all need to stay committed to the follow through of this work.
Now, tell me about this legislation, because I know that, you know, people always say, well, you know, we've got to get out to vote. We've got to get out to vote. But one of the things that I learned from you and Dr. Artika Tyner is that it's not just about voting, but it's about legislation and holding legislators accountable. So tell me about this legislation that you are so passionate about.
Yes. I mean, one of the biggest things, right, I think we talked about this before, is qualified immunity. And I remember last time I talked about how qualified immunity, it's not necessarily a law. And that's basically where police officers aren't really held personally accountable for their actions, that they basically get immunity because of their job. You kind of have to sue, like, the city or something like that in order to get any type of restorative justice or something similar to that. And so getting rid of qualified immunity, having police officers to carry some type of professional, like, liability insurance, the same way lawyers carry professional liability insurance, so that they realize that, hey, what you do out there in the field, you're going to be held accountable for your actions. And you won't have anything to really hide behind. So I think that's really, really important. Qualified immunity was actually a court-created doctrine, and it's not law. So as soon as, you know, the legislator puts a law into place to really specify things, that will be, you know, the law of the land. I think that's really, really important. And I think I remember last time we kind of talked a little bit about the fact that so many Minneapolis police officers, maybe like only 5% live within the city of Minneapolis. The rest of them lived, you know, out of the city. And so we have one of the lowest rates of police officers actually living in the city and jurisdiction where they actually patrol. And while there are some research that show that, hey, that doesn't really equivalent to, you know, their quality of service, I think just common sense says yes, it does. Right. Mm-hmm. If the police officers, this is where they live, you're their neighbor, they see you every day, they're going to have more of a comfort with you. They're going to be able to talk to you in a different way, know more about you and you them. So that can really de-escalate situations instead of coming in more guns blazing or quick to shoot you within 60 seconds of meeting you. And so I think that is also important. And then there's even more that I don't have the whole list in front of me, but there is a list of like 12 different bills right now that are on the floor of the Minnesota legislature. And I'll be happy to send that over to you. So hopefully we can get that posted somewhere to get people active and involved in carrying this forward and keeping their legislators accountable for how they vote.
Yes. And you know, that's when the real change happens. That's exactly when the real change happens. That's when we start to see fair and equitable treatment, whether it is buying a house, opening a bank account, whether it is education or whether it is justice. That's when change, real change happens. Dr. King marched, and at the end of that march, they didn't just go back home. They went to the president's desk and legislation was signed. And we've got to make sure we get over that hump. Jules Porter, thank you so much. I know you are in a meeting. You are busy. A lot of people are calling on you right now because of your expertise in the legal field. So I thank you so much for joining me this morning and your time to talk about the Derek Chauvin sentencing.
Thank you so much for having me. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.